This is Radio Boston. I'm Megan Chakrabarty. For decades, when a baby was born in the hospital, the baby was whisked away to the nursery and the mother was taken to her hospital room. Over the years, however, that standard has shifted dramatically, and now more hospitals are using rooming in as the gold standard. Now, the goal is to keep baby and mother together for as much of their hospital stay as possible. It's proven to have a lot of great benefits for baby and mother. So the idea is that the nursery is there only for infants who need medical care that cannot be provided in a postpartum recovery room. Advocates say rooming in helps mothers get to know their babies better and improves the health of both baby and mother. But some new moms say they need more support, which could include, or should include, having nurses care for their newborn in the nursery for a few hours, say, for much-needed rest. There's a lot to discuss here, and at the heart of it is this question of how do we best support mothers and babies as a unit in those first key days after labor. So to talk about it, we're joined by Lori Pugsley. She's the nursing director of the Newborn Family Units and Special Care Nurseries at Massachusetts General Hospital. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
Also with us today is Ananda Lowe. She's a doula, childbirth educator, and certified lactation counselor, and she joins us in the studio as well. Ananda, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. What was your postpartum experience in the hospital? Did you want to use the nursery? Was it available to you? Did you room in with your child? And did you think it worked well for you and your baby? And did you get the support that you needed in those critical first 48 hours or 2 or 3, 4 days before you went home with your new bundle of joy and responsibility? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK with your stories and thoughts. Or you can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. And we should say that this conversation was inspired by a really great article in the Boston Globe that raised this question about rooming in and nurseries in Massachusetts hospitals. So credit to them for that. But Lori, let me start with you. Can you just describe to us really from the standpoint of medical care and postpartum care, what advantages does rooming in have, and why are a lot of hospitals moving towards that?
Yeah, over the years, you know, we learn many things and practice changes. And what we've had found out, and through research and through experience, and we find out babies do better when they're in the rooms with moms. That's mostly what we find out. We find out that the environment of the mother's room is conducive to having healthy babies. They sleep better, they eat better, they cry less. They create an environment that's supportive. And that's at the crux of what we're talking about today.
Full disclosure, I've been through this twice myself. My experience was quite different between the first and the second one. And I think for a lot of first-time moms, and I'll put myself right out there, I actually was, in a sense, really glad to have the opportunity to have my daughter in the nursery for a little while, mostly because, and Ananda, let me get your impression on this. No matter how many childbirth classes you take and how many friends you talk to who've been through it, or even your mother or your sisters or whatever, when you give birth to your first child, you have no idea how it feels like, what it's going to feel like until you do it. You have no idea how exhausted you're going to be, how crazy it's going to be, how your body physically is going to be, emotionally. I mean, it was overwhelming. I mean, both in the most positive and difficult ways for me. And I needed an hour or two to honestly, even though I wanted to be with my baby, away from her, just to sort of find myself again. I mean, Ananda, what do you hear from parents?
Well, I probably have a I was in a unique position when I had my own baby. She's 5 and a half right now, because I had been a doula for 15 years before she was born and a lactation counselor for 9 years.
Right.
So I had a head start. And I'm realizing as I hear you tell your story, Meghna, that I had a head start. I knew what to expect.
And I felt like a truck had hit me, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, so I did room in exclusively 24/7, and I had been around other people who had done that, my doula colleagues and people in the, I guess, what I would call the natural parenting community, who were the most excited about breastfeeding. I'd spent time around those people for years before I had a baby. So I was prepared in a sense. At the same time, what I'm noticing in terms of the response that has come out to the Boston Globe article about the trend toward moving in and moving away from nurseries is that quite a few of the mothers who have responded to this current story seem to be almost begging for more support.
Okay, so Lori, go ahead, jump in here.
I think you opened up the session beautifully with talking about what's needed in order to accomplish this practice. Mm-hmm. And a lot of support is needed. And what we found to be true is that we keep the nursery nurse 24/7. We add more supports. I can speak for Mass General. We had lactation consultants 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we increased it to 24/7. We have a lactation consultant around the clock. And we increased our staffing on nights to help support mothers so we can help provide care individualized, what that mother and that family dyad and that unit needs.
Right. So you actually increase staffing overall.
We increase staffing overall.
And what do you recommend the staff does when you know, a mother says, you know, can I put my child in nursery just for an hour or two? I need to take a shower, or it's just a little overwhelming for me right now.
You know, we do know it's overwhelming. Yeah. It's overwhelming for many people. Our goal is to do a few things, and we can't look at everything in isolation. We have to look at the big picture, right? So when education, as we're mentioning, and talking and preparing moms and setting expectations prior to even delivering, during, you know, the process of postpartum, we also do that. We encourage moms to take advantage of the time, what we call quiet hours. We have quiet time during the day, and we encourage moms to rest and not have too many visitors. Throughout the day, we encourage mom not to have too many visitors. We engage partners in the care of their baby and teach them. And so as a family, we can work together, and we're part of that team is nursing. If it gets to the point that mom says, I'm done, right? I have had enough. We support her. That's her choice. We support her.
Yeah. So, Nandalo, I mean, in an ideal world, and of course, there's no such thing as an ideal world, but what would be the perfect sort of combination of supports for new mothers and their babies in those first 48 hours after labor?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm brainstorming here.
Yeah.
But it makes sense to me. Something I can envision would be that a newly delivered mother would would have one-on-one support for most of the 24 hours of a day, meaning that she.
I mean,
would,
that's it sounds ideal, but virtually impossible, right?
And I don't know that it's virtually impossible, but it's very foreign. It's a very foreign idea to, you know, in our culture. But what if we did talk with mothers prenatally, and let's say that at a prenatal visit at the OB or midwife office, we dedicated one of those visits to preparing a postpartum support plan.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked women, or we helped women identify who can be with you for those first 48 hours of your baby's life. Let's say that there's an unplanned cesarean section. Who can be with you for those second 48 hours of your baby's life? Let's identify who's going to help you out for those, you know, the first, let's say, 3 weeks that you're home. And that kind of planning probably is not happening the degree that we need it to be.
So, as in all things, as much planning as one can do going into this absolutely helps. You know, when you're actually in the event of becoming a new parent. But one thing which I'm wondering is, you know, with the move towards rooming in for hospitals to become more baby friendly, to encourage and support breastfeeding in those critical, you know, early hours and days after birth. You know, you added staff, Lori, at MGH, but it in a way, it also sounds like it's putting extra burden on staff to be, you know, those constant points of support and connection between, you know, between the new parents and the world of knowledge that they need to, you know, absorb in those first couple of days.
I don't think it's an extra burden.
Okay.
I think it gives the staff the opportunity to do what they want to do. They want to help moms. They want to provide care. They want to model best behavior or best practice. They want to be in that room with that mom. And now we have the time to do that.
Yeah.
So I don't see it as a burden.
There's extra staff, or
time because there's extra staff.
Okay.
So their volume is a little different. They don't have the volume of patients that they had. So they can afford to go into that room and sit in that room for an hour with mom.
I remember when, with my first, I was pushing that nurse call button all the time. Yeah. How do I change? Yeah. How do I change the diapers? She's not latching on. But is this sound that she's making normal?
If we give that individualized care, the whole stay is better. The whole process of mom learning and the environment and the partner being engaged, if we do that in the room with mom and dad or partner, we have a better outcomes.
Now, MGH is a top-tier hospital, not just in the state, but, you know, in the nation. So maybe being able to add staff is realistic at a place like MGH, but what about in other places that want to become more baby-friendly, that want to encourage moving in, where adding staff so that there's no gap in that support may not be as realistic? I mean, what do we do there? Lori or Ananda, either one, jump in.
I'll kind of go back to what I was saying a moment ago. I think it would be beneficial if we could help mothers themselves, pregnant women, identify their support system before they have a baby. Even if someone has a smooth postpartum hospital experience, we still have lots of women going home to not enough help at home, and then they spend perhaps weeks struggling with breastfeeding, and a few months later being finally diagnosed with postpartum depression, that sort of thing. So I think helping families identify prenatally how much support they are possibly going to need and where they're going to get it, whether it's from relatives, from friends, who's going to be their outpatient breastfeeding support person. We don't really do that. We require parents to know who their pediatrician is going to be.
Right.
But the most important thing that a new mother needs to do is to feed her baby. And we don't identify where she's going to get her outpatient breastfeeding support.
Yeah. And the other thing I'd love to add is that the workload of moving a baby back and forth into the nursery is more burdensome than keeping that baby in the room for the work of the nurses. So when smaller hospitals or hospitals that aren't able to adjust staffing, just the changing in model of care frees up time for that nurse to spend time with that baby. Moving a baby back and forth into a nursery takes time. And that multitasking of trying to do that actually is much easier.
What about in the case, I mean, we've been sort of underlying this part of the conversation so far. We've been talking about, in a sense, women who've had normal and non-traumatic or non-emergency related labor and deliveries. What about for the women who had unexpected circumstances around their deliveries, who may be physically unable to care for their babies in a rooming in fashion, even if they wanted to?
Yeah, and that happens, right? And
I mean, it happens frequently.
All over the country it happens. Rooming in or non-separation of mom and baby is for the healthy mom and the healthy baby. There are going to be episodes that mom isn't capable or baby needs more support, and that separation is the best decision at that time. So we have that available to be able to care for those families as well. So really, we're talking here about the healthy mom and the healthy baby.
Listeners, we're talking about hospitals moving towards encouraging mothers and new mothers and babies, I guess the babies by definition are new, towards rooming in and perhaps not using a newborn nursery as much as we used to as a society. And you're hearing Lori Pugsley. She's the nursing director of the newborn family units and special care nurseries at Massachusetts General Hospitals, and Ananda Lowe, who's a doula, a certified lactation counselor and childbirth educator and co-author of The Doula Guide to Birth. And wow, we have callers who want to give us their impressions and their experiences. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. What do you think about moving away from nurseries and towards rooming in those first 48 hours or 2 or 3 days after your new baby is born? Let's go to Waltham, where Elizabeth's calling. You're on the air, Elizabeth.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. What's your thought?
I gave birth at a smaller hospital outside of Boston, and I found the experience of sending my son to the nursery extremely helpful. I got diagnosed with prepartum throughout my pregnancy towards the very end, and I will say that I agree with the fact that more has to be done for women when they leave for the postpartum.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for your call. Lori, do you want to respond to that?
Well, thank you for calling, first of all, and sharing your experience. And I think that experience is not unique to you. Many mothers have experienced that. What we've learned over the years is that we can create an environment that might put mother in a situation that she might not choose to put her baby into the nursery because of the support she has or because of the education that we provide her. And that's the goal of that. Mothers can still choose.
Hmm. Let's go to Angela, who's calling from Reading. You're on the air, Angela.
Hi, nice to talk. I have two children, a 17 and a 19-year-old. I delivered at Beth Israel Hospital, one of the largest facilities for birthing in Boston. I did not room in. The best advice my sister ever gave me was to not allow the nurses to bully me into rooming in. I just thought that those hours of birth, you're so completely exhausted, you really need the rest, and mothers should still have that option. It sounds like a cost-saving measure to me, and I'm wondering if that's part of the reason we're going in that direction. I also didn't feel safe. I was in the last room in the wing right near the stairway, and I was really nervous about falling asleep with my child in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really important for mothers to have the option and to be able to get that time. You're in the hospital for such a short period of time, and you really need to rest.
Right. Angela, thank you so much for your call. So she brings up a lot of points there. And Lori, let me just ask you about the first one. I mean, I'm sure Angela's wondering something that a lot of listeners are. Is this a cost-saving measure for hospitals?
No, it's not a cost-saving measure. It's either neutral or increase of cost.
I mean, at MGH, was it neutral or increased?
We increased.
Okay. And do we know if that's the case for all other hospitals?
Many hospitals, it's neutral.
Okay. Now, what about this other issue that Angela brings up? And I have to say, with my number two, I actually I put him in the nursery a little more than I thought I was going to, mostly because I had learned from number one that really, for me personally, as a mother, the rest was absolutely essential for me to be the best mother I could be when he was with me. What about that in terms of, like, that is a form of support to provide the space for a woman to recover physically? I mean, Ananda, your thoughts on that?
I agree that sleep and learning how to preserve your rest is one of the most important things that mothers need to learn. It seems like right now we are really in a transition period. You know, we're going from the old model of pretty lengthy stretches of time that babies would spend in the nursery to the new model, where, and in fact, if you look at the baby-friendly breastfeeding guidelines, it does actually say 24/7 rooming in. So we are going from one end of the spectrum to the other. We're in this transition time, and it seems like some people are struggling with that transition. It also sounds too like your experience, Meghna, was that the preparation that you received was having your first baby.
True.
And when you got to baby number two, you knew what to expect. So again, I'm going back to this idea of what's the preparation?
Right.
Why are we not letting women know accurately the reality of how their lives are going to change as soon as the baby's born? I think that we're not doing enough preparation.
Right, because I don't think anyone around here in this day and age questions that there's a huge amount of medical evidence that it's healthier, as we were talking about at the beginning of the conversation, for the mother and the baby especially. But to me, it's a question of the more broader definition of what is support, what is preparation, et cetera. But we got a lot of callers. Of course we have, because this touches everybody. Let's go to Heidi, who's calling from Newton. You're on the air, Heidi.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. So I sort of am at the other end of the spectrum from the Reading caller. I've also had two kids. I had my first child at a birthing center and was home within 8 hours of giving birth. Had a nurse visit me the next morning and a lactation consultant help at home. And my doula and midwife were great in helping me plan for my first child, and that really made all the difference for me to be able to do that. My second child, the birthing center had closed, and I had my second son at Mount Auburn, also with a midwife and doula. Unfortunately, I was one of those parents that had an unplanned C-section, sort of emergency, and my son was born with Down syndrome, which I didn't know about ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I still had him room in with me most of the time, although I was very grateful. I just needed a couple of hours to sort of wrap around my head that I had a child that was born with 21, you know, with an extra chromosome and what that was going to mean, and was very thankful that, you know, the nursery was there to keep him warm under lights and do a diagnosis. But I think, you know, you know, having the baby with you is fabulous. I found that bonding time essential, even for my second one.
Yeah.
And I think it's great that you can have a choice.
Yeah.
And that there's support for both, you know, both situations.
Heidi, thank you so much for your call. Lori Pugli, let me turn back to you because I think Heidi brings up something that's so very important in that, you know, she roomed in as much as possible, but part of the support that she needed from hospital staff was, you know, to help guide her or prepare her or set her down the path to all these other aspects, unexpected aspects of parenting her second child.
Yeah. There's a lot of unexpected. Thank you for sharing your story and opening up. The unexpected is the fear, right? What happens if? What happens if I'm too exhausted? What happens if I have an event that changes what my plan of hope was for? We know that the model is what we're looking at. We had a model where we separated moms and babies, and we're really trying to change that so the norm now is keeping moms and babies together versus the norm of always separating moms and babies. Are there exceptions? Are there times? Absolutely, there are times that we need to support mom.
But what about for mothers who are hearing this or soon-to-be moms who are hearing this who are thinking, you know, what if I come to that point where, yes, I want to room in, but I need a little bit of separation, and now I'm suddenly worried about asking for it? I mean, one of our callers used the phrase, you know, they didn't want to be bullied into it. How should moms handle that in the postpartum unit?
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear anybody has that feeling of being bullied, because that's not the intent, it's not the intent for any healthcare provider. I think our job is to provide that education. Our job is to provide knowledge and share our wisdom and share our guidance and have mom have an informed decision. That's our job. And then it's her decision.
Let's take one more call here. Jessica is calling from Cambridge. You're on the air, Jessica.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My point has to do with my concern is there's all sorts of new ideas that are coming about what moms should and shouldn't do. At the end of the day, as a mom, I often feel shamed and embarrassed and confused about what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm watching new moms come along now who are told to do things that I was told I shouldn't do and vice versa. And isn't there a point at which all this advice and all these new theories are sort of disempowering and breaking down the family as opposed to building it up?
Jessica, great question. Thank you so much for your call. Ananda Lo, let me turn to you. I mean, how do we handle that? I completely feel Jessica's angst and confusion because every generation is different. Medical advice changes. Our approach to parenting changes. I mean, it's a maelstrom. How do we handle it?
Mm-hmm. That sounds like something for all of us who provide any kind of perinatal care to keep in mind. How is it that we are delivering our advice and guidance? Because things do change, and it may just be a matter of delivery. If I'm going to be sharing and explaining with someone how they might do something in a way that I believe is going to benefit them, can I deliver that in a way that's not going to invoke any shame or guilt? Because we do hear lots of mothers saying, I felt like a bad mom the day after my baby was born. So I don't know if that's so much because of the information that we're giving them or the way that it's being delivered.
Right. Yeah. Well, I want to end this conversation with one last phone call because, gosh, we have a lot of people who want to join us. And this one's from a dad. So, dads, you're going to get your voice heard from Peter from Framingham. You're on the air, Peter.
Thanks for this call. It's great to hear doulas out there, by the way. Fantastic support for women giving birth. I got to be very involved with my child's first 2 days of life immediately. She was placed at my wife's breasts. I don't know if the first feeding was effective. And the child roomed in with us. When my wife was tired, the child was on my chest. I would be awake, and there she'd be. And whenever my wife wanted the baby, bam, go the other way. And how wonderful for my daughter to have the first days of her life, as good as nurses try and be. That's still professional care, but to have my daughter and my wife and I be able to have the resources where the only touch my daughter had were people up front in loving her, you know, not taking care of her because that was their professional responsibility deeply held, but just infatuated, permanently in love with her.
Peter, thank you so much for your call. What a lucky kid to have you
know,
as a dad.
Isn't that a beautiful story?
Thank you for your call. Lori Pugsley, let me just give a last couple seconds to you here. Because, I mean, obviously Peter and his wife and his daughter have a wonderful situation, but my mind keeps turning back to the fluidity and the lack of predictability. We never know what it's going to be like until we're actually doing it, until we're actually in labor and in those postpartum units. What's your final advice to new moms especially?
I think probably my, if I was to sum it up quickly, is to take advantage of the care 24 hours a day. By that I mean sleep when your baby sleeps. Have set times where you don't have visitors come in. Limit the amount of visitors that you have. Engage your partner, whoever your support person is going to be. So the times that you may feel that need is less.
Yeah.
That would be the goal.
And Ananda Lo, you're saying plan in advance as much as
you can. Plan in advance and keep speaking up. You know, mothers kept the North Shore Birth Center open. They kept the Winchester Hospital lactation outpatient clinic open when they were threatened with closing. Keep speaking up for what it is that you need.
Advocate for yourself as much as you possibly can. Ananda Lo is a doula and a certified lactation counselor and childbirth educator. Thank you so much for joining us today. And Lori Pugsley, nursing director of the Newborn Family Units and Special Care Nurseries at MGH. Great to have you. Thank you so much. And listeners, there's a lot of you that we didn't get to, so send us your comments. Go to our website, radioboston.org, and let us know what you think there. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. We'll be right back.